This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Discovery Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team that's on the way back. A College World Series title. Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
We talked about the fact that Tommy Kraft is in Las Vegas right now. And, you know, my beef.
Where it is, by God, 4:01 a.m. local time. So, by God.
Yeah, yeah. So, Tommy has not slept all night long. He was on a heater at the craps tables last night. And congratulations, Tommy.
I'm telling you, when you roll it 47 times in a row, I mean, it is. Oof.
Well, see that.
Why they call it being on a roll.
Yeah. Well, here's the funny thing, Tom, because obviously we're having some fun with you being in Vegas for a quote unquote work. But it is funny, though, because I am trying to envision a bunch of different movies that I have seen in which somebody goes to the casino and does really well. And so it's like, I'm trying to envision, okay, so which one's more Tommy Kraft's experience? Is Tommy Kraft more of a hangover experience? Is it more like casino experience? Is it more like Rain Man experience? I mean, which movie is Tommy Kraft living right now in Las Vegas?
Probably more Rain Man.
Yeah, probably so. But hey, at least you'd be.
Which one's the one where you get up at weird hours of the night and you work and go? I mean, here's the weird thing, and nobody probably cares about this, but I'm getting up because we're in two time zones away over here doing this right now. But then I'm going to this National Association of Broadcasters show all day. So, like, I'm getting up at 3:30, and then by the time we get done, it's about time to get ready to go start that thing at 8, and then you get done over there at 5, and good Lord, I'm exhausted. I'm ready to get back home. I'm ready to get back to work so I can rest.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm thinking is because when, you know, we start really putting in the time zones, it throws you off, man, even if it's, like, different. Because when go ahead.
And then I feel like an old man because I'm ready to eat dinner at 4, you know. And I'm starving, like at 4 o'clock here. You know, someone like invited me to dinner last night at 7. I'm like, no way I can go to dinner at 7 o'clock. You know, it's way too late.
Yeah, it'll throw off your entire meal set. Like, I mean, that's the thing is, like, first off, we know you're a food guy, obviously.
Yeah.
And you being
what does
in
that mean?
Well, I mean, you just
obviously.
Like,
what is obviously? Why you got to throw the obviously in there?
And you talk about food, Tommy. You know, you talk about food. You love your food. We all love our food.
That's why I talk about it.
That's right.
I thought you were talking about my physique.
Oh, no. I would never bring up that ever against you. But you're in Vegas, though. And so I got to ask, like, the food. Have you had some good food? We just got to ask that question.
This is the first time I've been. I have not been here in about 4 or 5 years. And there's this new area they've created. If you haven't been here in a while, people that have been here will know what I mean. It's called The Link. And it's down by Harrah's. It sits between Harrah's and the Flamingo. And I have not been here since they created the Link. And if you've seen new pictures of Vegas, they've got the new, you'll think it's a Ferris wheel. They call it the High Roller. And I'm going to tell you, Vegas has turned into one big damn shopping mall. That's all it is. Vegas used to be, and maybe I should save this for my beef. Vegas used to be about coming out here to gamble. I think Vegas is all about coming out here to shop. It's just one big shop. All these casinos are anymore are shopping malls. That's all they are, is to get you out here to walk through malls and walk through corridors with shops. And now they have all these dining. It's really turned into more about that. But the Link area has got some really nice stuff. We went the other night for the national championship game, went with some guys to a local bar place out here to watch the game. That was nice. And then went to a local Mexican restaurant in there last night. That was pretty good. So supposed to have, if you don't have an early reservation at some of the nicer places, we called like wanted something like an hour and a half out last night. They just laughed at us. No, we can't get you until tomorrow. They said. Okay then.
Well, sorry.
Okay then. Sorry to bother you. Hung up the phone.
Man,
you know,
tough crowd.
Like, if you want to go like one, yeah. So I mean. But this show I'm at, it's like is the second largest convention they have in Vegas. I mean, it's just wall to wall people.
Man. Well, that's the thing is, like we've talked about, I have not been to Vegas. And I know that even though you are in Vegas, you are there more for work purposes. We have to have fun with you, but you are there more for work purposes. So it's not like you get to go out and experience being at the Bellagio or anything like that. The no, full-fledged Vegas experience. At,
but no, but I'm going to tell you, it changes. It's just an evolving landscape out here. One thing, and I know we got to get to sports because people don't really care about the times and travels of Tommy Kraft, but we're under a wind advisory. Now, we on occasion, we'll get those in Arkansas where we're under lake wind advisory or something where it's a little unsafe to be out on Lake Washita or Bull Shoals or something like that. I'm in my hotel room, and I can hear, I don't feel it, but I can hear the wind beating on the outside of the tower here. There's 60, 65-mile-an-hour winds right now in Vegas, and yesterday you can see the sand just moving through the air. People are walking around with these, like, surgical masks on. There's, like, these, wind warnings right now out here. And just walking around yesterday, it was a little uneasy, a little uncomfortable out here. So that's something that's going to be continued to be weird today, that it's 60, 70-mile-an-hour winds at times. Kind of goofy.
Am I a bad person for not being scared at all of a wind advisory? Like if somebody came out and said on the Weather Channel, it's like, oh, okay, guys, everybody stay inside because there's a wind advisory out there. I'm kind of like, okay.
Well, so we're down and we're standing out at this outside bar area last night, and we're next to this construction zone where they've got this scaffolding that's probably four or five stories high working on this, and this thing's creaking, and I'm like, guys, I'm a little uneasy standing here, honestly. So I think we need to go somewhere else because this thing is like, you can see it moving. I'm like, I think we need to go.
Yeah.
This thing may come crashing. This may be headline news in the morning here. I don't want to be part of it.
Yeah. See, well, yeah, that's when it probably would get scary.
I need to buy more life insurance before this happens.
Yeah, seriously. Well, that's the thing is I'd probably be more scared about that. But, I mean, here in the River Valley and in Arkansas, you don't really get many wind advisors. I mean, there are some, I was like, okay, wait until it tells me it's a tornado, and then I'll take that wind advisory seriously. Yeah. But I'm probably not so much the ones that are out there in Vegas, though. But obviously, we're having some fun with it on the show today. We're going to get into a lot of different sports, don't worry, because there's a few things that we want to get into in dealing not only with the University of Arkansas, but the athletic department itself and how in the past 18 months, pretty much everything has changed. And what I mean by that is that in the three arguably most powerful and most important positions in the athletic department have all changed. Of course, the athletic director in Hunter Yurecek, the football coach in Chad Morris, and now the basketball coach in Eric Musselman. It feels like it's a completely different Arkansas than what it once was. And, it's funny to me that all these Razorback fans who are really excited and really optimistic about the future, it's just based off of the potential and the hope that is possibly there, because we know that Chad Morris went 2-10 last year. I mean, we don't have to keep revisiting it because everyone remembers very vividly of how bad last year was. But even as how bad last year was, there's still semblance of hope. There's still recruiting classes where they're able to bring in really talented players, where you feel like you're really strong with being able to get the players in. And when we've talked about it so many times, Tommy, that in sports, especially sports like football and basketball in particularly, if you get talent in, that will overcome a lot of obstacles and overcome a lot of issues that you may have if you just have the talent to go along with it. You can only be so good with average players. But if you have elite players, elite talent players, it makes all the difference in the world as a head coach. And it feels like Chad Morris is starting to bring in some of those big-time players. Eric Musselman's only been on the job for a couple days now, so we don't know exactly what type of talent he's going to be bringing in. But based off of his resume and based off of the excitement that comes along with him, Razorback fans are finding themselves in a position where they're really hopeful for the future in the two major sports at Arkansas. And obviously, with baseball and Dave Van Horn, that's so set and so such a great foundation right now that it's not really on the minds of Razorback fans as much as far as hopefulness, because the hope's already here. Like, you already know how good you are in baseball. You don't have to worry about the future near as much.
You know
that as long as you got Dave Van Horn as coach, you're going to be a great elite baseball program, and that's the most important thing. But basketball and football have not been that way in quite some time. And now that you have, and again, the past 18 months, a different AD, a different football coach, a different basketball coach, I feel like Razorback fans, by and large, are cautiously optimistic about the future of Razorback Athletics in those two respective sports.
Follow the show on Twitter at HitThatLineAR. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
As far as this year goes, if Eric Musselman's going to get some talent in, it's going to have to be through grad transfers. And there's a few of them out there, and it's amazing. If you really go out and look at the list, I guess if you look into the transfer portal, which I guess maybe some people have some access to. I know we don't have the password to, I guess, not yet at least. But a lot of the players that are in the transfer portal are really talented guys. I mean, guys that could, you feel like, would really help out a program immediately. And I'm sure that Eric Musselman is going to be after these guys as well, because that's essentially what you're going to have to do. Not to say that there's not some talent on the team already, Tommy, but you're going to have to be able to get some guys that can come in right away immediately in order to elevate it, and you're going to have to get some big men down low. You can't just rely on a bunch of guards. You're going to have to get some size down low this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, obviously with Daniel Gafford leaving to go pro, that leaves a big void in the depth for that position, you know. So, yeah, you got Chaney, and you're going to need some other guys there. Because you need to be at least two and more like three deep. So you got the fours and fives are a little depleted right now. So I would imagine that's one of the first areas you're going to go to. To me, that makes sense to get a grad transfer or a JUCO in. You know, and the JUCOs, you know, there's still some available players there, and it's not too late. And there's some events throughout the summer where you can go see the best available JUCO players in one location, and it's maybe a little easier from a basketball standpoint, because these guys still go and play in events in the summer. You know, there's some events. Jerry Mullins is a guy that puts on some of these top JUCO events around the country, and a couple places, and coaches can come in and see the top available JUCO guys. I would imagine you'll see some of the Arkansas staff at some of these events in order to identify perhaps a big man prospect.
Yeah, and it'll be curious to see, too, if any of the players that are currently on the roster end up transferring out here in the coming weeks. Not to say that we know of any that are looking to do that, but just given the way that college basketball is, it would be very unlikely if you maybe didn't just have anybody transfer out, and who knows who they would get back in. Because I know there's a guy named Rajon Tucker down at Little Rock. I'm sure you've heard of that name. He's only got averaging 20 points a game.
Was looking at Nevada, too.
Yeah, so maybe he'll be a guy that could come in and help Arkansas as well. So who knows what the roster is going to look like this upcoming season, but there's no doubt that Eric Musselman is going to have his hands full when it comes to the recruiting side of things. And that's something we alluded to in just in the opening segment of the show, is that in the past 18 months, it's amazing how different things are. In the past 18 months, Arkansas has changed and has a new man in command in three of arguably the most important positions in the athletic department, where they have a new athletic director, a new football coach, and a new basketball coach. And everything seems completely different. And I sense that there is excitement, and I sense that there is hope among Razorback fans for the future of these respective programs and for the future of the athletic department in general, because of Hunter Yurecek, and just basing it off of the job he did in hiring Eric Musselman and the whole process that went underway. But it seems like, to at least to me, that Razorback fans have a little more excitement, maybe more excitement than they've had in quite some time dealing with this athletic department in these two sports, just because it seems like they actually have a glimmer of hope and a glimmer of potential of being great programs, not just average programs, not just programs that are just skating by, getting away with the bare minimum. You have two coaches in place that have the potential, you feel, to make Arkansas football and basketball respectively great again. That's what people are hoping for, at least.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons Mike Anderson's not here, that people just had no reason to believe that the future, that the immediate future next year, was going to be any better, that there was really a chance to make the tournament next year. And I know what Eric Musselman said about making the tournament next year with the group he's got, and he's building confidence for the team. I don't think most fans hold him to that, nor should they. And if he makes the tournament with this group next year as it is, now he'll have to bring in some pieces, I think, to have a chance to do that. That's going to be one heck of a coaching job right there. You know, I think that's why Mike's not there. No one had a reason to really feel hopeful about the future. And clearly, Hunter Yurecek didn't at all. And that's why he pulled the trigger on making a change. And now everybody's, it's like a new day. Everybody's turned a corner and everybody's very hopeful about this program being competitive on a national level again. All because you changed the head coach. Not one player, but the head coach. And now everybody's very hopeful again.
Well, even if you look at it from the football side of things, that Chad Morris is going to get a couple more years unless just things really go south really quick, which I don't think anybody feels like it's actually going to. It's still going to be a struggle this year, and no one has high expectations. But, you know, just assuming that, say, if Chad Morris, in this example, goes a couple years, it's not getting it done, maybe just skating by with a 6-win here or a 6-win there, just not really getting the job done at the high level that Arkansas fans and Hunter Yurecek wants, it's starting to feel like Arkansas fans, just based off of the way that this coaching search went with basketball, they have a trust in and a faith in Hunter Yurecek to make that tough decision to say, you know what, it's not that we're failing in the program, we're just not to the level of success that we want to be in this program, so we're going to make a change to get it done. And that is something that I know that you want to bring up the previous regimes a lot of times, which is fair, I think, at least it's fair game. But you didn't have, as a fan, that same trust and that same faith to where if the program wasn't winning at that level that you felt you needed to be winning at, that a change was going to be made. It was just almost like, well, as long as the grades are good, as long as we're making money, as long as there's no issues, you know, the winning kind of can become secondary. And after this whole process, I think a lot of fans gained some faith, garner some faith that they have with Hunter Yurecek and the job that he's done, to know that, you know what, if a program's not doing it to the level that is satisfactory, a change is going to be made.
Well, I think fans, or what I've gained more faith and respect in, is the fact that winning is the priority here. You know, and you mentioned grades and APR, and, you know, it seemed like, or at least the perception was with previous administration and with Jeff at times, and that winning was not all, you know, sometimes it was financial concerns, academic concerns that came ahead of, let's just win.
Mm-hmm.
I think Hunter Yurecek has heard that and has made it clear and stated it. And like we even referenced to the agreement with Eric Musselman the other day, it's very weighted heavily, in all the incentives for winning. Winning is the priority, and I think fans are starting to maybe get a better sense of that with Hunter Yurecek. So, not just in his words, but in, you know, the way he's carried out some of his business. So, I think that's important right now, because I don't think it's been that way, or at least the perception is it hasn't been that way. So,
and that's the key word that you use, is that's that perception part. Is because, and I don't know if you really felt the same way that I felt, Tommy, but towards the end of the Brett Bielema era, or at least going into that final season of the Brett Bielema era, a lot of fans felt kind of hopeless because they felt like their voice didn't matter. Their voice was not being heard. They did not have a say in the way that the program was going. And the only way they could voice that opinion, really, was going to the games, showing up. There was nobody in the stands, and they did not want to deal with that anymore. And I think that this upcoming season, and I don't know if it's going to be a huge jump or anything like that, but going to the football side of things, I wouldn't be surprised at all if you saw a pretty sizable increase in attendance in football games. I know not having two SEC games in Fayetteville, as you normally would and should have, is probably going to hurt attendance. But just the overall feeling towards the football program is probably going to be a little better. People are starting to give Chad Morris some more of a chance because of the recruits and some of the guys that he's doing. And just basing it off that spring game, too, I think some people saw some things that maybe they could hop on board with and be excited about. And so that's the biggest thing that you just have to get people back, is just winning. And getting better and showing improvement and development and feeling like you actually have a fighter's chance to be a great program. Because would you say, Tommy, that the potential is there for Chad Morris? Not saying that he will get there, but at least he has the makings of getting Arkansas to a respectable and a really good, I'm not saying like elite, like Alabama level, but a really good, maybe borderline great program just based off of the things that he is doing right now, especially in the recruiting game. I mean, does he not have that potential?
Well, based on what I've seen in recruiting, I'd agree with you. Based on, I haven't seen anything else yet that I could go that far with.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. It's just
based only on recruiting and the level of recruiting we've seen to this point. Yeah, I'd go with you on that. Now, because we've how can you say it beyond that? Because all we've seen is a 2-10 year.
Exactly.
So I mean, how can you say, yeah, this is a coach right here that's going to take you back to 10 wins? We just won 2. You know, so
yeah,
it'd be hard to say, yeah, I see this guy on the rise. But yeah, I mean, but he also gave you the best recruiting, but you also have to balance that out with, yeah, where'd you still finish in the league? So, you know, there's still some balance to that. But, yeah, I agree that Arkansas football can get back to where it was. I don't know that can you sustain – it's, you know, Arkansas basketball versus Arkansas football is just such an interesting conversation to me, because Arkansas basketball is the sport that can sustain the kind of success where it would be equivalent to 10 or 11 wins a year every year. Now, what would that be at Arkansas in basketball? I guess, you know, finishing second or third, finishing in the top three, winning the conference some, going to the Sweet 16s, you know, 3 out of 5 years. I think the basketball program has real potential to do that if Musselman is the right coach. In football, even with the right coach, I think that's a very difficult ask to have a program win 10-plus games 3 out of 5 years on a decade-long basis.
Yeah.
But in basketball, I think it's a realistic ask if you get all the pieces in place.
Well, I don't think it's
crazy? I just think the ceiling's much higher for success in basketball at Arkansas.
Yeah, the ceiling's there. And in football, I think that it's still pretty high, too. It's just because, let's be honest,
just over the long haul. I'm just saying you can have it like you did in 10 and 11. I just don't know that it's much more difficult to sustain it in football than it is in basketball at Arkansas.
No, and it is.
Because of recruiting.
But my point is that in football, though, just given the state of the SEC, I know that there are programs that are on the rise and programs that are starting to really improve on themselves. But it's also, you're worried about, like in football, and I guess in football, you're worried about your division more than anything because you're in the SEC West, which is arguably the toughest division in all of college football. In basketball, you're just in the SEC, an SEC that is improving and is improving at a fast rate. But like you said, given the circumstances of how basketball is, college basketball in general, how quickly it can get turned around, just having 2 or 3 players makes all the difference in the world. Of course, Arkansas can be in a better position for that and be able to sustain that success given what they have right now. Football can get that way. They just have to have the foundation laid. I still think that the foundation at Arkansas in basketball is solid. I mean, Mike Anderson left a solid foundation. It's not the greatest foundation. It's a solid foundation. If Musselman can build on that, it's in great shape. It can be the same. Football doesn't have the foundation right now. Like they don't even have the. They haven't got the plans laid out. I guess they do have the plans. They just got to start laying concrete.
Subscribe to Hit That Line on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas. 80 yards.
Past 18 months, new athletic director, new football coach, new basketball coach. You know, a lot of programs would be really scared about that. In fact, a lot of programs that would go through that type of issue would probably be considered a program that's having some major issues, borderline dumpster fire type problems. But with what it looks like for Arkansas, people are at least hopeful for the future, not only in football and in basketball, but also just in the athletic program and general. And also, by the way, on Twitter, Scott tweeted at us, Tommy, and is asking if you are drunk this morning.
Why would he ask that?
Because he says you're coming off a little abrasive.
What was I abrasive about? Okay, no, I'm not drunk, but what am I abrasive? I didn't feel abrasive about anything.
He's just asking a question, so I'm just relaying the message. So, no, Tommy is not drunk.
And I didn't feel like I was abrasive. If I did, I don't apologize, but I didn't mean to be abrasive.
I will say, so, Tommy answered the question with the question. He didn't say no at the first when he was first asked. No. Little questionable, Tommy.
Well, I can tell you this. Well, Tommy's probably not drunk.
No, I promise you, I'm not that. It's just it's 5:02 a.m. where I am at. It's what, 7 o'clock where you guys are at. So
is the sun
getting up at? I've been getting up at 3:30 local time all week to do the show. I'm not making an excuse. I'm just stating a fact. So,
is it light outside where you're at?
No, it's not light outside where I'm at. It's 5 a.m.
Yeah. Well, we got some sunlight coming in today on our end. So, but yeah. Yeah. So just remember, keep that in mind. If you like Tommy's a little grumpy, then just know that's
because I'm a little tired. I'm cranky.
I've been getting
up at 3:30 in the morning and then getting done with work at 5 o'clock local time. And then by the time you have dinner, it's been a 3:30 in the morning till, I'm not whining about it, I'm just telling you what my week's been like. 3:30 in the morning till about 7 or 8 at night.
Yeah.
I'm tired. I'm ready to come home.
We just got a couple more days.
I'm ready to get back to real my normal work so I can rest.
Yes. So. Yeah, you're ready to get back into your old routine. Understandable.
Ready to get back to my office so I can rest.
Yeah, understandable. Yeah. So there you have it. If you're curious about Tommy, there you go. That's why. He's out in Vegas on a completely different time zone, which makes mornings always an interesting one.
No, it's not for fun.
No one gets up at 3:30 in the morning in Vegas and calls it fun. Ever.
No.
It's never a situation once you're in. So, either way, I guess you're just joining us. Of course, we've been talking about the athletic program, where Arkansas is at. But I did want to get a little bit into the spring game and spring practice and just football, because we talked a lot about basketball the past few days with obvious reasons, but it kind of covered up a lot of the football things that have been going on, especially in dealing with the spring game and kind of just the excitement level and the expectation level going into fall camp, which is pretty much the next time we'll be able to actually see this team. We'll know we'll have SEC Media Days coming up in July, where we'll be able to catch up with some of the coaches and players as well. So, I mean, those are some things on the horizon, but it really comes down to how spring practice went, how the spring game went, and going right into fall camp, where this team is going to be. And I know a lot of people got to watch the game itself and got to see a few of the highlights from some of the particular players, especially somebody like Trey Knox, where there's a lot of excitement going along with it. But I think that what is coming into place here, and just given how bad it was a season ago, or just this time last year where the end of the spring game happened over in Little Rock, you just saw a lot of confusion. You saw a lot of people not knowing what to do. You saw a lot of just not really things you want to see on a football team. And those things have been shored up. You haven't really had those issues, at least just basing off of the spring game, of having mass confusion and nobody on the same page, which was so detrimental to this team last year, that it's starting to build up a little bit of an expectation for football as well. And I don't know, after seeing that spring game and after knowing how many players, especially on the starting offense, that were out of this game, like Rakeem Boyd and Cheyenne O'Grady and Michael Woods and a few of the offensive linemen too, it's really hard to determine just what the expectation is off of a spring game, and I hope nobody ever does that. But I do believe that the expectation is there that come fall camp and come when the season actually starts, this team has to be better than what they were last year. And I think just based off the small things we saw, Tommy, they will be a better team last year. I just don't know how much better they will be from last year.
Yeah, and that's one of the things we got to continue to watch and see how it goes as this comes along.
Yeah.
Sorry, my internet cut out and I didn't hear all of what you were saying.
Okay. All right. Well, no, and that's the thing, is just from just discussing it with some of the Razorback fans that actually got to attend the spring game and see it, with Chad Morris, he's optimistic, obviously. He's always going to, start his press conferences with, it's a great day to be a Razorback. He's got the ultimate energy that you want with
always
a coach.
Does.
Yeah, and he's always going to be bringing that every single time that he gets in front of people and starts to talk. But
and when you start your day with 8 Red Bulls, you're always that way.
Yeah, I mean, you're just going. It's going to come with the territory right. When you just drink that much Red Bull. So the fact of the matter is that once this fall camp comes around, though, that expectation is going to be risen. Where it's not going to be about what you say. It's not going to be about what you're talking about. It's not going to be about your philosophy. It's not going to be about your hashtags. It's not going to be about any of that. It's just going to be going out and performing well and winning games. Because right now they're in a bad situation, no doubt. But right now, they have nowhere to go but up, and they have to go up, and they have to go up in a major way this season, unless you just can't deal with anything like you had last year.
And I don't know how much it changed for coming out of what we saw last Saturday, but how much did Ben Hicks change your perception of this offense and its potential? I mean, to me, it was hard to tell because I think it was very limited on play calling, but it's clearly an upgrade at quarterback, right?
Yes, I think.
How much better? I mean, because it all starts with quarterback. I don't care if it's Arkansas or Alabama; it all starts with quarterback. So, how much better can this offense be because Ben Hicks is here? And I still wonder, because then we see Hicks, and then we go to John Stephen Jones, and we keep going down the list. And what we all know is Connor Nolan and Starkel aren't there yet, right?
That's right.
So, how different is it going to be in August? Now, I believe it's going to take like something I don't even know what the right adjective is here. Something, and I don't want to use the word disastrous, so I don't know what it's going to be. Miraculous, disastrous, what is the right word? Help me, guys, for someone other than Ben Hicks to be the starter. Shocking. I can't really see the first game, what Portland State, where Ben Hicks isn't the starter at this point. Can y'all?
Well, the only way I could see something happen is if Nick Starkel just comes in and really steps it up and is really just far and away that much better than Ben Hicks. But I would be surprised, though, if that
shocking
happens.
Shocking would be, I guess, be the right word to slide in here, because how could you pick all of the offense up without any spring practice and get all the installs and do all of that in – and really, what, four? I mean, I know he's got the summer, but 4 weeks of true practice time? I mean, Ben Hicks is going to be the guy, right? There's like a 90% chance of that, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think that there's any arguing that.
We've seen our starter. So just how much faith do you have that this offense, based on what we saw, can – how many more wins can it be? Because I don't think we're sitting here – the debate's not can they win 8 or 9. The debate's can they win 5 or 6. That's the discussion. Can we go from 2 to 5 or 6 or perhaps 7?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is the ceiling? I guess that's really the first place to start is what's the ceiling for this program right now?
I think the ceiling for
based on the schedule, based on what we've seen through the red-white game, what is the ceiling?
I think the ceiling right now is 6 wins. And I don't know if anybody could argue that. I don't know if anybody that could say anything higher than that realistically, just based off what we know, what we've seen, and who they have. And I think that if they won 6, it would be, and as sad as it is to say, but if they won 6 games this season, that would be a monumental success for Chad Morris in this program.
You got to win 3 of your first 4 to do that. That's where your non-conference games are loaded up. Then you got to win your 4 non-conference games. And then you got to beat what Western Kentucky on down in the schedule. But I think starting out and being, 3-1 to get going, you know, like paramount for Chad this year. And then maybe if you could split the A&M Kentucky games, you get Western Kentucky, maybe Mississippi State at home. I mean, I'm just thinking about games that are not ones I would circle, but just games that you know, maybe have a 50-50 shot in, you know. I don't know. These aren't games that Arkansas will be favored in necessarily, a Mississippi State game, even at home, or a Kentucky game on the road. You're not going to be favored in these games, but those are games I think you got certainly a puncher's chance in. You know, maybe you could figure out a way to split one of those between A&M and Kentucky. Get one there. You know, maybe the ceiling's a little bit higher than that, but I'm with you. How could it be much higher than 6 or 7?
No, but I would also say that the bare minimum is 4, because you cannot lose any of those non-conference games. You can't afford to. Just can't do it.
I agree.
So, I mean, it doesn't get any easier.
The floor is 4.
Yeah,
and the ceiling's 6 or 7.
Yeah, so right in there would be about what people expect.
It's not 5. You can't,
as far as for the ground or for the lowest or the highest.
You know, and that's a great question, Ty, because 4, if you only win 4,
you still go 0-4 in conference play.
Right. Mm-hmm. Assuming, I mean, if not, then you've lost to a non-Power 5 opponent somewhere, and that's not good either. So that's a great point, Ty. Is you've got to get – you cannot have an 0 for SEC. So, you know, Ty, you make a great point there that maybe 5 needs to be the floor, because you got to have an SEC win in there somewhere.
I mean, think about it.
Got to.
Yeah, think about it.
No, you're right.
Because –
no, you're absolutely right.
We just harped on Bryce Drew for going 0-4 in SEC mm-hmm. play basketball. And I know basketball, there's a couple more games. You can be more critical of that.
Mm-hmm.
But if Chad Morris were to go 2-10 in his first season and 4-8 with 0 conference wins – in his first 2 years.
0-16 in 2 years.
That would be a disaster.
Right.
What did everyone get hyped up about in Bielema's second year? When they were able to beat LSU and they were able to beat Ole Miss. Conference wins. I think the floor has to be 5 wins, because you guys are just talking about you can't lose any of these non-cons, and then you got to get at least 1 SEC win.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and we got to get out of here, but just to answer your question, when you bring up the 4 wins, I feel like, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but I feel like that even if you lost a non-conference game but still won an SEC game, that would go a long way too. So even if you only had 4 wins but still had at least 1 SEC win, I'm not saying that's acceptable. I'm not saying people should be happy about it. I'm just saying that it is steps in the right direction, and you're at least improving. But it's not going to excite anybody else about it, though.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.